Good evening. Welcome to the Fellowship of the Lord's People. It's good to be able to gather together on a Lord's Day evening and to be able to worship Him. And we trust that as we meet together here, there are a few of us in the building and you at home, that you and we will know the Lord's blessing as we worship together. It's an especial delight this evening to welcome our brother David Gayton and his wife. And we trust, David, that the Lord's blessing will be upon you as you minister His word to us, and that we will have ready ears, sharp minds, and willing hearts to obey. Well, turn with me as we begin, please, to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. I have asked David's permission to extend the reading. David was trying to be very kind and gracious to us, but I think this is one of the most wonderful chapters in all of the Old Testament. It's a thrilling chapter to me, and to read it alongside Hebrews 9 into 10 is just wonderful. And so with David's permission, we will extend the reading a little. So Leviticus and chapter 16. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats as a sin offering, and 1 ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull and sprinkle it on the mercy seat before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, and put on his garments, come out, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sin before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on clean linen clothes, the holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. That's an awesome chapter. Oh, the grace of God, that by the shedding of blood, sin can be forgiven. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord and our God, as we come before you this evening and we have read your word, we are thrilled. Thrilled when we consider how much grace and mercy you have shown. We thank you for the types and shadows that there are in this chapter regarding the Day of Atonement. The shedding of blood, the dealing with the sins, the carrying it away on the head of another. And oh, how we thank you for the full reality that came to pass in the person and the life and the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank you that he made full atonement for the sins of his people. How we thank you that he himself bore our sin in his body on the cross. There he died to sin once for all, paying the full legal price, becoming our legal substitute. How we thank you that he took our place, he dealt with our sin. And so this day we are able to come before you and know we are forgiven, not because we are good people. Lord, again this evening we will confess, we know that there is no goodness in us. We can only come this evening clothed in the righteousness of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have been declared by you to be holy in your presence because of his righteousness. We know that we are by nature, birth and practice and inclination sinners. But oh, how we thank you for the new life that is ours in him, in our Saviour. How we thank you that by the Spirit who indwells us, we are able to come now to you, our Father, and to know that we are heard. Oh, how we rejoice in such a redemption. How we thank you that full atonement has been made, and that by the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you, our Saviour, that you have done this once for all, never more to be repeated. Oh, our Lord, what joy, what wonder we see here. What grace, what amazing love, a love that is utterly beyond our comprehension. Lord, we are but frail creatures of dust. We are bounded by time. We are born, we grow, we age, and soon we leave this world. And yet you have set such love upon us that we should be called the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But one day we will see you as you are, and so we will be like you. Oh Lord, until that day comes, and the shadows flee away, thrill our souls then, we pray. And to you be all the honour and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, our first hymn is number 562. I know there's only a few of us here this evening, but I will ask us to stand as I read this hymn. It's a glorious hymn by Charles Wesley. I don't think we normally sing it to the set tune in the hymn book, but I know the set tune in the hymn book better than the tune we sing it to, and I will endeavour not to break into song. It's not very pleasant if I do. So please stand, and 562. 'Tis finished, the Messiah dies, cut off for sins, but not his own. Accomplished is the sacrifice, the great redeeming work is done. 'Tis finished, all the debt is paid, justice divine is satisfied. The grand and full atonement made, God for a guilty world hath died. The veil is rent in Christ alone, the living way to heaven is seen. The middle wall is broken down and all mankind may enter in. Types and figures are fulfilled. Exacted is the legal pay. The precious promises are sealed. The spotless Lamb of God is slain. The reign of sin and death is o'er, and all may live from sin set free. Satan hath lost his mortal power. 'Tis swallowed up in victory. Saved from the legal curse I am. My Saviour hangs on yonder tree. See there the meek expiring lamb. 'Tis finished. He expires for me. Accepted in the well-beloved, unclothed in righteousness divine, I see the bar to heaven removed, and all thy merits, Lord, are mine. Death, hell, and sin are now subdued. All grace is now to sinners given, and lo, I plead the atoning blood, and in thy right I claim thy heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Well, let's come before the Lord again in prayer. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Lord, how we are amazed that you came into this world so humble yourself, to the point of death on the cross. How we thank you that there on the cross, having borne the full weight of our guilt and our shame, having suffered hell on that cross in our place, having borne the Father's eternal wrath in your own body on the cross, you dismissed your spirit and you gave up your life that you might be the one who died in our place. What amazing love. How we are awestruck before you, our Lord. So, our Lord and our God, as we come now, we thank you that you have saved us, made us part of your church. We thank you for the fellowship here that is West Park Church, but Lord, we thank you for every expression of your true church as it exists locally, not just in this country, but around the world. We are well aware now, our gracious God, that many of our brothers and sisters, your children, have ended this Lord's Day to the east of us and have retired to their beds. And to the west of us, our whole continent still is rejoicing in the height of this, the Lord's Day. And Lord, from east to west and north to south, we thank you for your people. But Lord, especially here where your people are known to us, we pray that you would be very gracious. We lift up before you, Lord, those who are undergoing medical tests because of physical ailments. We think particularly of our brother Surinder. We pray for that family, Lord. We pray for Surinder and his dear wife, Bakshaw, that they would know your sustaining grace in all of their medical trials and tribulations at the moment. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling in other ways. Lord, especially for Judy and David and for Gerald, Lord, especially, we would ask. And our sister June Safi and our brother Andrew. Oh, Lord, we lift them up before you. We long, Lord, to know that you would relieve their struggles and that they would know then find that place of peace in you this night. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who are not yet able and strong enough to come out. We pray that you would have your hand upon them. We thank you for them. Lord, help us never to forget them in our prayers. Help us, Lord, to be those who will pick up a phone and not wait for another to do it, but will speak to them. We pray, Lord, that we may be encouragers of one another as your people. Lord, we pray especially for those in this fellowship who have loved ones living far away at this time and they cannot visit them and they may have concerns for them. We pray that your hand would rest upon them in those concerns and they might be enabled to rest in your sovereign purposes and providence. Father, we again pray this evening for those who are students arriving in new cities. We pray, Lord, that as they settle in new fellowships, they will be enabled by your grace to find a family, the family of your people, and will be enabled to sit faithfully under the ministry of your word and grow and to hold a faithful witness in their place of study. Help them, Lord, to settle down, we pray. And Lord, we do ask for the children of this fellowship who have now returned to school that you would keep your hand upon them, keep them safe, help them in their studies. We thank you, Lord, that those who have returned that I've spoken to are able to say how glad they are to go back. And Lord, we pray that you would keep them safe. Lord, especially we pray that you would prosper the preaching of your word here and in every fellowship around us, Lord, where your people faithfully meet around your word. We ask our Lord and our God that you would prosper the preaching of your word, not just in our buildings, but through our individual conversations. And Lord, even in the more public spheres, that soon you will enable us to reach the point where we can go out and once more proclaim the gospel. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Dudley. Lord, we pray that you would have your hand upon them and bless Conrad and the ministry of your word there. We think of our brother Stephen over in Solihull and pray that you would bless him in that fellowship. Lord, you know their need of a place where they can meet as the evenings get darker and the weather gets cooler. Lord, we lift them up before you and ask that you would meet them at their point of need. Lord, we pray again this evening for all our brothers and sisters. We pray especially for the church that is persecuted. We think of our brethren in especially the East, Lord, in North Korea and parts of China, who are suffering under the heel of dictators who are set against you and your people. Lord, we pray that they would know your sustaining grace, that through all the difficulties and the heartache and the hardship that they must go through now, that your hand would be upon them. Oh, sustain them. Oh, Lord, our God, we pray. May you be their portion. May they, like the apostle, know that in their time of trial, you are standing with them. So, Lord, be with us now. In your word, have your hand upon our brother David. May he know the closeness of your presence and the help of the Holy Spirit. May we be most attentive to your word. And, Lord, may we have obedient hearts. To you be all the honor, the praise, and the glory, now and always. Amen. Well, before David does come up, please turn again with me in God's word, this time to Hebrews 9 and verse 23. Hebrews 9 and verse 23. Having read Leviticus 16, it's a wonderful place to come to. Hebrews in chapter 9. Let's read God's word. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. May God bless to us his word, and may he bless you as his servant, David. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your welcome, and good to be with you once again. Someone said this: God has two lips and one voice. Strange. Well, what he was referring to is this: there is an Old Testament, that's one lip. There is a New Testament, that's the other lip. But both New and Old Testament speak with one voice about the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do butterflies come from? Answer, I'm sure you know, caterpillars. Do you realize one of the miracles of creation is this? All the ingredients to make a butterfly are found in a caterpillar. The caterpillar doesn't have to go off and say, well, I need some other ingredient to make a butterfly. No, they're all the ingredients are in the caterpillar. Those of us who love the gospel as revealed in the New Testament, do you know something? It's a far greater miracle than a caterpillar producing a butterfly. The ingredients are the wonders of the revealed gospel of the New Testament, all the ingredients are found in the Old Testament. And that's what we're going to do this evening. My title is 4 Days on God's Calendar. 4 days on God's calendar. And the four verses I want to speak to you from found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25, 26, 27, and 28. So here we go. Point number one, day number one on God's calendar. The Day of Atonement. I'll read verse 25 to you. Now that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Now this verse takes us right back to that chapter we read earlier on, Leviticus chapter 16. The Day of Atonement. This was on the nation's calendar of old. God appointed it that there should be a day which is called the Day of Atonement. Now perhaps some of you are not used to the book of Leviticus, but you know, have a go at reading it. And then read the book of Hebrews, and do you know something? You'll be amazed at some of the great treasures you will discover. Every year, they had to remember on the 10th day, on the 7th month of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement. It would be a day when the very nation stopped and they came before God. Now let me tell you three things to begin with about the Day of Atonement of Israel of old. Number one, it was a very serious day. It wasn't a celebration. It wasn't a party. It was a serious, serious day. All work would stop. They would fast. Did you notice that little phrase in Leviticus 16? They afflicted their souls. That means they fast. They went out without the things which we normally had in daily life. And they would meet with God. So it was a solemn, serious day. The second thing is that it was a day when they remembered their sins. The sins of the past year. It talks about making atonement for their sins. They would come as individuals and especially as a nation to remember their sins. Hey, you think about Britain. If they stop once a year to remember our sins, oh, what a lot of sins we have got. But this was what God declared to his people of old, that once a year they would stop as a nation and remember their sins. And the third thing, that on that day, all attention would be on the high priest who would make a sacrifice for their sins. And God taught them by the blood of an animal, their sins, whether it was the high priest and his family, or whether it was their sins as a nation, could be atoned for, could be blotted out, and the nation could be made right with God. Now, that three important things to remember. Now, let me tell you one or two other things. Now, to be quite honest, if you don't get my first point, I'm doomed for the rest of my message, all right? So make sure you listen to what I've got to say. Did you notice how Leviticus chapter 16 started? It talked about the death of Nadab and Abihu. They offered strange fire to God, and they were consumed by the wrath of God. And God says, look, you're not to come in that way. And this is how I prescribe to you how you approach me. And we have all the instructions about this Day of Atonement. Do you know something? That's a lesson that not many people have learned. You don't come on your terms to God. You come on God's terms to God. He has prescribed how we should approach him. We don't do our own thing. We do what God says. For those who are a bit theological amongst us, there is something called the regulative principle. And that means we don't do what comes into our mind, but we do what God has revealed in his word. That's a very important lesson to learn. And Nadab and Abihu, they did their own thing, and as a result, they were consumed by the wrath of God. Three more important things about the Day of Atonement. Number one, on that day, did you notice in Leviticus 16, the priest would change his clothes. In the book of Exodus, the priest's clothes are described as those which are for beauty and for glory. And they were. They were gold, and they were glorious clothes. They had bells and pomegranates on the bottom. They were glorious clothes. But on that day of atonement, he would take off those glorious and beautiful clothes and put on plain white linen clothes, very ordinary clothes. So he would change his garments on the Day of Atonement. And there's something else we need to say, that when he went to meet with God, now perhaps some of you know some of the teaching about the tabernacle. The tabernacle had an outer court. There was a tent. The first place was called the holy place. Only the priests could go in there. But in the Holy of Holies, that's where God was. And he's symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat on top. And that's where you could meet with God in person. And the high priest alone, once a year, could meet with God in person in the Holy of Holies. So the second thing I want you to learn about the high priest is this: on the Day of Atonement, he went alone. There was no one else with him. The second thing I want you to learn is something about the sacrifices that were made on that day. First of all, the priest would make a sacrifice for himself and his household. He would take a bull and a ram, and he would sacrifice them, take the blood, and make an atonement to be acceptable to God as an individual and for his household, in order that their sins might be forgiven. The next thing he was to do was to take two goats. Now, these were the sacrifices for the nation, for all the other people. One of those goats would be sacrificed on the altar. It would be consumed, and it would be an atonement to God. The other goat was called the scapegoat. You've heard that phrase, haven't you, the scapegoat? Well, this is where it comes from, the Day of Atonement. And the priest, outside the court of the tabernacle, would lay his hands on the head of the goat. And then someone, it was symbolizing that the sins of the nation were laid on the goat. And then a man would come along and lead it out into the wilderness, and the goat would be seen no more. You won't forget that, will you? So one goat for God, sacrificed on the altar. The other one was a scapegoat, which would be led out into the wilderness and seen no more. The third thing we need to remember is this. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies to meet with God. Now, we all know that Aaron was a sinner. Remember, he made the golden calf. He was an idolater. He was a sinner. How can a sinful man like Aaron meet with a holy God? Surely he would be consumed by the wrath of God. Well, he took with him two things. He'd take a little tray with some fire off the altar. And when he was in the Holy of Holies, he would put some incense upon it, and there would be a cloud go up between him and the ark, the mercy, where God was. So there'd be a cloud within. He'd take some of the blood of the sacrifice of the goat that was sacrificed at the altar, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And do you know something? Aaron was protected from the wrath of God. He came out alive. So that's a very important thing to remember. Now, on that Day of Atonement, just one other thing, and it's this. It had to be repeated every year. They'd look on their calendar and they say, oh, it's the seventh month and it's the tenth day. It's the Day of Atonement. And year after year after year after year, they would meet with God on the Day of Atonement. Now, I hope you can remember some of those things. The priest, he changes his garments. He goes alone. There is a sacrifice for himself and his family. There are two goats, one that is sacrificed for the people on the altar. The other one is led out in the wilderness, bearing the sins of the nation. And this great sacrifice had to be repeated year after year. Now, that's the first day I'm speaking about on God's calendar. That's what verse 25 is talking about. Not that he should offer often, as the high priest entered the most holy every year with the blood of another. Day number one. Day number two on God's calendar. Shall I tell you something? When it says Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, all of the Bible points to this one day when the Lord Jesus Christ would die for our sins. I've called this the Day of, listen carefully, the Atonement. The Day of the Atonement. Now we're in verse 26. Listen to it carefully. He then that would had to suffer often, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, notice that little phrase. He has appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now listen carefully. What did the high priest have to do before he could go into the Holy of Holies? He had to change his glorious garments and put on plain white ordinary garments in order to go in to make atonement for the people. You've worked it out, haven't you? What did our Lord Jesus Christ have to do in order to come and make atonement for the sins of his people? He left the glories and the purity of heaven. He so humbled himself that he became that little babe of Bethlehem. He left the worship of angels and came into a world where he was rejected and blasphemed. But why did he appear? He came to make atonement. Do you not stagger to think, you are Christians. This is what Jesus Christ came to do for you, to make atonement that your sins might be forgiven. He left heaven, all the glories, to come into our sinful, wretched, wicked world in order to make atonement for our sins. That's wonderful how he humbled himself. He could feed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes, and yet for himself personally, he had to wait for the disciples to bring him some food. That's how much he humbled himself in order to go to the cross of Calvary. And he did it in order to put away sins for himself. Remember, the high priest, who went with him? No one went with him. He went alone into the holy place to meet with God. He went alone. Who went with the Lord Jesus Christ to Calvary's cross? Were they the angels that sang at his birth? No. He went alone. This one who was truly God yet truly man suffered alone the curse for sin, endured the wrath of God, bore the sins of many, and he did it alone. Our sins deserve an infinite price, but an infinite person like our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins alone. Now this is wonderful. This is what happened on the day of the atonement. Do you remember the sacrifices? Remember, the priest had to make his sacrifice first, the bull and the ram. Well, the Lord Jesus didn't have to make a sacrifice for himself, did he? He had no sin. So we go straight to the two goats. And what can we learn from these two goats? Now, can I just say, there are thousands of professing Christians who do not understand the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to help you this evening to understand what happened at Calvary's cross. Now remember, there were two goats. I'll give them names to make it easy for us to understand. The name of one goat was called Propitiation. The name of the other goat was called Expiation. Here we go. The first goat was laid on the altar. The blood of it was shed. It made atonement to satisfy the wrath of God against sinners. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. His death was a propitiation. Shall I tell you what most Christians think? They think what they get from the cross. But what did God get from the cross? His wrath was satisfied. Now, people do not like the word propitiation because they immediately know that means that God can be angry with sin. And he is. And we need a propitiation. And the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself up to God. He endured the wrath of God to satisfy the very wrath that we as sinners deserve. Now this is wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ died for God. But now think of the word expiation. That means that our sins might be washed away. Now remember what happened to the live goat, the scapegoat. The priest symbolically laid his hands on the head of that goat as though to transfer all the sins of the nation onto the goat. A man would lead it out into the wilderness, let it free, and the goat would be seen no more. Whatever happened to it? Well, all the theologians have tried to work it out. They just can't work it out. It was never seen again. Now, this is wonderful. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died as an expiation. Our sins, those of us who are believers, were laid on him, and he bore them all away. Our every sin can be washed away. Do you know what God says to the believer? He says, your sins? And we say, we remember them. They're like mountains. They stained our minds something terribly. Well, God says, I'll remember them no more. Because he sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has washed them all away. When I was a young Christian, we used to sing a chorus, very simple. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my heart is free, and soul is free, and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. So this is wonderful teaching. propitiation. Jesus died to be my propitiation, to satisfy God's wrath against me. Expiation. He died to wash away and take away my every sin. I might be speaking to someone and you get troubled about past sins. Well, make sure you understand the cross. Make sure you understand that the blood of Jesus Christ does cleanse from every sin. They're not just words. It's a reality. And in heaven, your slate is clean. Your sins are blotted out. Expiation is a wonderful word. So that's verse 26. The day of the atonement. Now we come to verse 27. Day number 3 on God's calendar. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now remember, Israel of old, they had an appointment. 7th month, 10th day, they would meet with God. God appointed that day. No one else, God appointed it. My dear friend, you have an appointment with God. That's exactly what our verse here, verse 27, is teaching. As it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And if you're not a Christian, do you know what God is going to talk to you about? He's going to talk to you about your sin. And all the sins you have committed, and a terrible judgment the unbeliever will receive. What an appointment. But do you know something? What a wonderful day that will be for the believer. Do you remember what the high priest took into the Holy of Holies with him? First of all, he took that tray with fire on it. And he put some incense, and that incense rose as a cloud between him and God. And then he sprinkled some blood on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he wasn't consumed by God's wrath. My dear friends, if you're a Christian, this will be your experience when you meet God. He won't see you. There's a cloud in the way. And do you know why? Because you're clothed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He won't see you. He'll see Christ. And he'll see the blood that has atoned for your sins, your every sin, so that you are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing this is, to hear God say to you as a Christian, my dear friend, you're clothed in the righteousness of my dear son, the Lord Jesus. My son died for your sins. They've been all paid for. Your debt is cleared. Welcome into the holiest of holies, into heaven itself. I think one of the greatest hymns that has ever been written by Count Zinzendorf, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, mid flaming worlds in these array. With joy shall I lift up my head. Listen to this. Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. My dear friend, you have an appointment with God. I can't tell you when it is. You can't cancel it. But one thing is certain. It will happen. God has appointed a day when you will meet with God. Now I've come to the fourth day on God's calendar. Verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Now, the great day of atonement for Israel of old, the priest had gone into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the goat, and all the nation is tense. Will he reappear? Will he reappear? What relief there must have been when they see the high priest return, changes his garments from those white linen ordinary ones back into those glorious clothes of the high priest. What a wonderful thing that must have been for the nation to see the high priest reappear. Now, the writer to the Hebrews does a surprising thing. You would have thought, after Christ's atoning death on the cross, he would want to speak of the resurrection. Because, of course, the resurrection confirms all that Christ accomplished on the cross. But he doesn't. He speaks of the second coming of Christ. And, of course, what is the climax of redemption? Well, the resurrection is very important. But what is the climax? The wonderful climax of redemption is when Jesus Christ comes again in glory. And you will see all those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that lovely word? To those who eagerly wait for him. And do you know, that's the Christian, isn't it? How we long for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will reappear, not in humiliation, not to come and make another sacrifice for sin, but he will reappear in all his glorious person, in all his deity, in all his wonderful saving power to bring his people home. And he will appear as the judge of this world. 4 days on God's calendar. Do you eagerly wait that final day? One or two bits of application as I conclude. Perhaps for some of you, you haven't really entered into the wonderful treasures of the Old Testament. Well, may you, in the coming days, in your own personal Bible readings, enter into some of the wonderful days. We have the greatest of all commentary, you know. We've got the New Testament. That's the best commentary of all on the Old Testament. Notice it says, Christ did it once. Oh, our dear, dear Roman Catholic friends, every Sunday they have to reenact the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, how they need the Saviour, my dear friends. How they need the one whose death on the cross was sufficient for time and all eternity to save his people. He died for the sins of many. And then finally, what wonderful assurance this is. He died once. Just once was sufficient. Because of the greatness of his person. I love the hymn. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. 4 days on God's calendar. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, we would just bow our heads and our hearts to worship thee. We thank you for the wonders of the Bible. We thank you for the treasures that we can find. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful insight we can have in what happened at Calvary's cross. We thank you, Lord, that every promise, every shadow, every type, every picture is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. We do pray, Lord, please, that in these days particularly, you'd help us to be those who know that full assurance of sins forgiven and eagerly waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us each one, we pray, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read to you that lovely hymn, Jesus, Thy Blood. Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, mid flaming worlds in these array. With joy shall I lift up my head, bold shall I stand in that great day. For who aught to my charge shall lay, fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. The holy, meek, unspotted Lamb, who from the Father's bosom came, who died for me, even me, to atone, now for my Lord and God to own. This spotless robe the same appears when ruined nature sinks in years. No age can change its glorious hue. The robe of Christ is ever new. When from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, even then shall this be all my plea. Jesus hath lived and died for me. Oh, let the dead now hear thy voice, now bid thy banished ones rejoice. Their beauty this, their glorious dress, Jesus the Lord, our righteousness. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet abiding fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes in glory to take his people home. Amen.